This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris and I'll be your host today. I've got with us here in our studio, Bobby and Becky Hobby. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. How are you?
Doing good.
Nice.
Again. Veronique Vaughn, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
We're all kind of giggling because this is, I think, our fifth take starting this particular recording.
Five.
So
Yes. Anyways,
it's going good.
We're giving you our very best.
I love it. Yes. I love it. So we're talking in the pre-show about this topic that we're going to do for this episode, developing your spiritual radar. And we're talking about, you know, flying and pilots and radar and how important it is to kind of be aware. And I am actually a private pilot, and one of the things that they train heavily on during flight school is being able to understand the difference between how you feel and trusting your instruments. So there's lots of crashes and lots of problems that happen when pilots that aren't used to flying by instrument find themselves in a situation in a cloud or in fog or where they can't actually see and they rely on their instruments. It's very easy for the human body to be disoriented and for you to feel like you're flying in a straight and level line, but actually maybe you're not. Maybe you're banking heavily or you're headed towards the ground. And so there's a lot of training specifically around absolutely not trusting how you feel what the plane is doing, but relying solely on the instruments and believing in the instruments that they're telling you the truth because they might tell you something that's different than how you feel. So I think right now we were talking about three different things that we see that's happening today that the enemy is under, that's enemy is attacking us. We're under attack with three different strategies and how important it is for us to have our radar tuned to see those blips. Yes. So we thought we'd just dig into that.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yeah. Before you do, I think, you know, Bobby, you mentioned a scripture earlier about us having to be savvy to the way the enemy attacks us. I know you said it like a whole lot more eloquently. Savvy. Anyway, I think it's really important recognizing that we all pick up things in the spirit. We're all aware of messages that are being sent in the spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through feelings. He speaks to us through pictures and maybe words. There are different ways that He speaks to us, and that would be our radar. Right? That would be how we are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying about specific situations in our life. And so this would be fine-tuning our own individual language with what Holy Spirit is saying. That was the first thing that stood out to me was, number one, it's one thing hearing all this stuff, but it's another thing being able to recognize when the enemy is using that against me. So just wanted to throw that out there.
I love that. I think like with flying or using a radar or something like this, those instruments, that radar does you no good if it's not switched on.
Oh, come on.
If you're not plugged into it.
Did you plug it in?
Yeah, if you're not plugged into it, who cares? It might be giving you all the warnings that you need. The Holy Spirit is giving you all the warnings you need. But if you've plugged your ears, if you're not looking at the instrument, if you're relying on your own methods or whatever, your own feelings, you could be way off and the instrument is of no good to you.
Yeah.
So as we dig into these, I think what we want you to do as you're listening to this is to think about with your own discernment, your own radar, you know, are you tuned into hearing these things and you need to be. And the first one that we wanted to go into is the severance of covenant. And you know, this was something that you brought up, Veronique, and I feel like just thinking about the reluctancy of culture today to make any kind of commitment at all. Yeah. Like, well, I'm not 100% sure. And, yeah. you know, and I think we should live together first before we get married. And I just want to try this out. And mm. I need to be ready. You know, I'm going to take this job, but, you know, if something comes along that's better, I'm ready to split. And, yeah. you know, somebody really offended me at this church, or I don't agree with everything that they said in that last sermon. So we're going to go find somewhere else. We're not just getting fed here. Just this reluctancy to actually totally stay in covenant with something. I mean, this is a cultural issue. What do you guys think about that?
Mm. I think, Veronique, you should start. I think the things that the Lord laid on your heart from the beginning, we need to go right after that. Go for it.
Yeah. So, you know, when I think about the whole aspect of covenant, it's about relationship. It's about the depth that two people can go in an area that God has ordained. And when I think about the importance of that relationship, it goes straight back to the Lord has covenanted himself with us. There cannot be any greater covenant that could ever be made on this earth than the creator of all mankind covenants himself with us by sacrificing his son, by spilling his son's blood for us. That number one moves me. So when I speak of covenant, I speak of something that is so sacred that it's sacred because the Lord has ordained it, right? So then we start speaking about marriage and how, wow, you know, a lot of people do, they go into marriage, you know, they'll get up and they'll say their vows, but actually what they're doing is reciting how they met or reciting what they like about each other. And that's what they're going, but wait a second, that's not a vow. You're not exchanging vows, you're just telling a story. Where are the, I promise to hold you dearest. I will, you know, lay down my life for you. You will be my number one apart from the Lord. Like the vows that we are making in order to come into this covenant relationship. So yeah. I set that up because that's why I feel like so moved when it comes to the severance of the covenantal relationship. Right now, with having gone through our first year of everything COVID, there have just been so many relationships that have been impacted by everything that's gone on. And some relationships, it was right that they ended. Maybe they were not healthy. Maybe they were. But I found myself, disclaimer alert, I'm going to get a little bit vulnerable. I found myself coming into Christmas on Christmas morning thinking, I wonder if this is the last year that Don and I are going to be together. Because everything else is falling away around me. Like, I wonder, and I looked at him thinking, this could be our last Christmas together. I don't normally have those thoughts, you know, but it was something in me that I was willing to give space because of everything that was going around me. And I had to stop for a second, and I had to come out of agreement right. with that thought yeah. because my marriage is a blessing to me from the Lord. There yeah. is nothing that I can turn around and say, he didn't do this and he broke this vow and therefore I am on grounds to divorce him. But yet it was something I was struggling with. And I realized, I got to share with my mom-in-law, beautiful, on fire, spirit, God-loving woman, wise counsel. And she said to me, Veronique, I think that there is a spirit mm-hmm. that has been sent against marriages. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. And the more I thought about it, the more I prayed into it, the more I realized, oh my goodness, I can pinpoint and I can see. And so that was the basis of, it touched me. It touched me to the degree that I actually considered maybe this is my last Christmas with my husband. And I wanted to, you know, say, hey, if I had that thought, how many of you are having that thought? How many of you are struggling with this? If you're struggling, let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. Let's help you through it because I don't want to see marriages have this major separation in your covenantal agreement because of an attack from the enemy.
And isn't that really how the deceiver really works, right? It's a thought in the atmosphere that's flying by,
yeah.
And it's coming and knocking mm-hmm. on our minds. Will you capture this thought? It even sounds like your voice. Mm-hmm. And will you own it? And will you put it in your heart to become now your thought?
Yeah.
Will you enter a new covenant with that thought?
Right.
And you were just seeing what was going down mm-hmm. In the atmosphere for all of God's people.
Right. Right.
You know, to capture and hold on to.
Because with that thought came potential other relationships could get involved in. It came discontent with certain behaviors in my house. Like, it just started to snowball to the point where I felt, like, justified. Yeah. I felt, you know? And then I realized, no, this is a complete assignment from the enemy. This is not mine to touch. But it was on my radar as an attack. I picked it up as a possibility.
Yeah. 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 On that, too, it comes in different forms for different people. So say that you're not married.
Right.
But you're in, you have friendships, you know, or say you've made a, even with your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Maybe this is my last Christmas believing in God.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's the deception that only gets fueled mm-hmm. by us. Mm-hmm. There is no power in it until we agree with it.
Right.
But it's going out there, and if we don't have the radar to pick it up and go, that's a blip, I'm not agreeing with that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going the opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm going to avoid that, mm-hmm. you know, and redirect myself.
And come out of alignment with agreement.
Yeah.
You've got to come out of agreement with that.
Yeah.
In order to overcome it. It's like the rocket that's launched in order to, you know, cause that annihilation has to be you coming out of agreement. Because there's a part of you that, if there is a part of you that agrees, you have to disagree.
Right, right. That's so good. What other covenants? And where does that lead? What's the outcome of all of that? Mm. Ultimately, it's separation from God.
Yeah.
That's its ultimate goal. But it also comes in, you know, things that you're doing. So I've made an agreement to work at this job. Now I'm going to cancel that. You know, I know this is kind of, you know, out there a little bit, but I see it as abortion. When mm-hmm. women are pregnant, you know, they made an agreement mm-hmm. of having an intimate relationship.
Yeah.
And that's a bond.
Yeah.
That is a tie. That is a bond. That is a covenant.
Yeah.
That is, and that's a way of reinforcing a covenant.
Right. Hey.
And then here's a baby, unexpected, and because there's an agreement made that it's okay to cancel out, it's okay to break covenants. Mm. I'll just get rid of this child. I'll just have an abortion, and it becomes birth control. Mm. Mm. Right? You got something to say, Bob?
That what you're saying is at the heart of covenant.
Yeah.
If we could define covenant for a moment,
yeah.
You can't enter into a covenant lightly, right. unadvisedly. 50%, it's not partial, it's 100%, it's 150%. It's all the way. And so to give yourself to anything, you should be convinced that it's the right thing to do. Number two, you've got to sustain that covenant. A covenant is not a yes for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what makes this bigger than my emotion, is I'm in covenant.
Yeah.
That's not, when you go covenant, you're like, I don't care what happens. I'm in this thing. We're both going to learn. We're all going to learn. And then that's how you can be in covenant with a person, like your spouse or, you know, whatever. But you can also be in covenant with a body. a church, yeah. a ministry, a whole tribe of people. Mm-hmm. We are in covenant. Mm-hmm. There are certain tribes in Africa that do not have in their language the word I.
Wow.
They only have the word we. Hmm. Because that's how they operate from. They don't know I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when you're in covenant, how do you know if you're in covenant? We is stronger than me.
Yeah, that's good.
And that is good. You live out of that place. That's how you know we're in covenant with the Lord is we. Mm-hmm. I love Bobby Connor, prophetic guy. He travels all over the planet, loves people, loves the Lord, loves preaching the gospel. And when you say, Bobby, how you doing? He goes, we're doing great. And he always refers to him, the Lord, as we. Yeah. And I just like, I love that about that you. Yeah. We yeah. were just in. And I know he travels alone. You know what I mean? Yeah. For the most part. And I'm like, yeah. That's just how he refers to the Lord. Mm. He's in covenant with the Lord. And so back to your point about being spiritual radar and developing our spiritual radar. We literally, because Christ's Spirit is in us, we're cell towers, if you will, picking up on stuff all the time, heavenly and earthly, natural. What's going on around me? Oh, blip. Oh, what's God saying? Oh, that was a nice blip. Oh, there's the devil. Oh, and so people have to like sort of war back and forth. And they're like, I don't want Satan's blips on my radar. That's not what my radar was created for. I just want Jesus blips. Huh. Just give me Jesus blips. And then Paul is trying to teach the people he's mentoring about their spiritual radar. And he says, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices.
Yeah.
So we can tell when it's a God blip and we look for it. Yeah. And we can tell when it's a devil blip and it comes on our radar. We're not ignorant and we know what to do. So in developing our spiritual radar, one of our goals today is to teach you, number one, how to see what's on your radar, how to identify it. Super important that we identify. I want my discernment not just to identify the devil.
Yeah.
True discernment should be discerning what God's doing too. And even once I do identify the devil or where my target, where my strike point is, I still want to identify, well, what's God doing in it? Because I really haven't done anything to change the atmosphere by just discerning something's happening. Mm. That's maybe the first step, but I still haven't gotten into changing the atmosphere yet.
Right. Yeah, and I think it just ties so well back to that flight training. Like, you just can't trust your emotions. Now, some people, when they recognize that, say, okay, remove emotion. No. We're definitely not called. Emotions make wonderful servants, but terrible masters.
Yep, right.
I didn't make that up. I've heard that before. But emotions make terrible masters, but wonderful servants. They're a tool that God has given us. Right. They're to be paid attention to.
Yeah.
They're just not to be the actual controlling driving force behind our decisions. Mm-hmm. They aren't to be fully trusted with in that regard. And it's just the same when you're flying. When you go through training, they put this thing over so you can't see outside. And then your flight instructor will make the plane do all kinds of different maneuvers to confuse your equilibrium on purpose. And then you are required to make the corrections by only looking at the instruments. And after all that happens, your equilibrium isn't quite right. And it will not feel like you're leveling the plane out. Mm. It will feel like you're doing something dangerous.
Wow.
But you're actually doing the least dangerous thing. And it's a training regimen.
Wow.
But if you're not tuned in,
if
you're going off your emotions, you'll crash. Right. And I think it's a great parallel to this.
Right.
And that takes us real well to the next part, which is the spirit of slumber. Another blip that we really feel right now that the enemy is using is this kind of, comfort, this kind of drifting that people are settling into because life is so crazy. So the best reaction to that sometimes can feel like stepping back and just kind of waiting it out and seeing and kind of drifting through.
Yes, absolutely. If you're feeling that and that spirit of slumber sort of causing you to feel like, you know what, the best decision right now is no decision. Let's just be passive and let's just sort of shrink back. Our goal is that you would identify ways that the enemy is lulling you to sleep and tricking you into slumber. And the Lord wants you to thrive in this season. The Lord wants us all to thrive in this season and make wise decisions. And so part of the shaking off that spirit of slumber is really receiving the counsel of the Lord in this season and saying, wait a minute, I have the ability by the Spirit of the Lord to know all things. His direction is my portion. So if you're feeling directionless right now, and I just sense that some of you are, that in this season right here, right now, you can say, Father, I thank you that I am not without direction. A, not by your Spirit. I am not without direction. You have sent me your Spirit. And B, I am not without your word. You have given me the instruments so that regardless of what I'm feeling, I know what the word of God says. Like in John 7:17, Jesus tells the Pharisees, if your goal is to do my will, you will know whether the words that I speak are truth or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to speak out the opposite, if you are picking up on something, an attack from the enemy, to recognize it and to speak its opposite. You know, that I don't know what it's called. I'm sure there's a name for it. But so I pick up something in the spirit, right? And then I go online to another church and they're preaching the very thing I'm picking up. And then I watch a movie and the movie is about the very thing that right. I was picking up. Like we're picking this up, the radar, right?
Yeah.
Do you know the name for that?
No.
It's called cool.
Yeah. Yeah, right? But I recognize that in God's kingdom, I see this on the radar and I start to declare the opposite. People are going to start to pick up the opposite of the attack. They're going to hear less of the attack. The more, as Christians, we declare out into the atmosphere the word of God and his perspective and his position on it, that's what people will be picking up. And so I oftentimes look at it like, I'm not just doing this for me. You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. I literally declare to my community, I'll declare something out and I'm sure I look like a crazy person. But then I'll be like, you'll thank me later.
But that's the prophetic, right, Bobby? That's the part of speaking things into, that's a co-creating part.
Right.
It is. I think just being confident in the fact that, oh, wait, God's trying to talk to me. I know it. That's why I'm on this planet. It's for me, but it's also through me. So the Holy Spirit is in me for me, but he's upon me for you.
Come on.
So what does that look like? I'm picking up on stuff for my friends, my family. So Lord, I just want to find out when something comes into the radar screen that I want to go after. I turn it to intercession. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, if it's the severance of covenant, mm-hmm. then that's going to be the mark of my prayer right now.
Right.
That's going to be, oh, when I feel like I want to back off because mm-hmm. that's my emotion. It just came on my radar, severance of covenant. So I'm going to go overboard to stay connected to people because yes. I know how to fight yes. when that thing comes on my radar.
Right.
Now we're talking about slumber. So how do I come in the opposite spirit of slumber and turn it into prayer? Make mm-hmm. those words go across my lips. Father, keep my spirit awake. Mm. Even like the Song of Solomon, I sleep, but my heart is awake. Mm. So even while I'm resting in bed, my heart is still attentive to you and attentive to the needs of people. So when I feel like the Lord is showing me, I'm in spiritual slumber, I start looking around to see who I can bless because I know slumber is attached to me and my needs.
Wow.
I awaken when I look around, when I stop being narcissistic. Mm-hmm. But narcissism will actually aid the spirit of slumber.
Yeah. And the slumber causes our bodies to take a breath, slow down, but activating and being aware, how can I give, how can I serve, will wake you up even further. So it not only is it a great tool to have, be thinking about, but it's the activation that you need.
So to be looking out for the severance of covenant, to be looking out for the spirit of slumber, and like you said, Veronique, and you guys did too, these things can often disguise themselves as appropriate things. And that's the trick of it. And that actually really takes us to this, the third one that we talked about in the pre-show, which is the way that the enemy will use truth as the basis for the lie he's about to set up for you. So he doesn't have a habit of using lies right from the beginning, but he's the great deceiver. And the reason he's the great deceiver is because he always starts with the truth. He starts with the truth and then leads you a little bit. And then once you feel comfortable with that, with that truth, like it's 100% true at the beginning, and then he leads you a little bit into something that's, you know, 95% true, and then something that's 90% true, and then pretty soon the lie seems like it fits with that original truth.
Yeah.
That original truth that can even be backed up with scripture. But now you're a long ways away from that, but the whole journey to get there felt like truth all along the way.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm hearing out of that too, you know, how am I going to know I'm still in truth? Right?
Yeah.
Because what if I think what I'm hearing from God is God, but it's really not? That's why I need people around me, those that I trust, those that I'm in relationship with, that can really, I can bounce those things off of and I can say, I think I'm hearing this from God. And they'll look and they'll, you know, pick through that word and they'll say, gosh, you know, I think you're a little off. And I have to trust their radar when mine isn't quite
there.
Which
means you have to be vulnerable on purpose.
You do.
Okay, so question. Do you ask people to be that for you, or do you expect the people around you to just do it naturally?
I will ask if I'm going to want something specific, I will ask them, hey, can I run this by you?
Okay.
I need your input because I want to let them know what role I'm looking for. I don't want them to be set up for a failure of a false expectation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask them, can I run this by you? Let me know. Give me your input and feedback. Do you think that are you hearing this too? Am I hearing this right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that I need to maybe like, you know, rethink that on?
Yeah.
I love that question because it's intentional. If I'm going to develop my spiritual radar, then what do I need? What does it even look like?
Right.
And part of that radar is to make sure that there's instruments that are serving you, meaning you're not limited to your own devices.
Yeah.
Because if I'm my own radar, then I'm going to miss something.
Exactly.
We all see in part, even the most aware, conscious person still sees in part. So yes, if you're designing your plane, you're going to want to get the best radar in there. And those are the people who can see what you can't see. That's the blind spots that they see. Blind spots just aren't about seeing my weaknesses. Blind spots are literally about seeing the things that I can't see so I can be encouraged. People can cover me, help me. That's the neat thing about people you trust. So I'm okay with, you know, in conversation, in relationship to people, just everyday people coming and saying, hey, I saw this for you. But I'm not going to limit my radar to the run-of-the-mill radar on the market.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy the best because I hear for the airplane, I need a killer. If you're going to spend something, you know, send some money. I'm imagining you need to get a good engine.
Yeah.
You don't buy the one for $120.
Yeah.
I don't care what that guy says.
Right.
Don't buy that one. And then probably make sure you get the best radar, you know. My seats, I could maybe skip on the seats, but not the radar.
Right.
So what I'm thinking is, okay, I've got to intentionally get people, hey, if you see anything that I don't, I need your voice.
Yeah.
I need your scripture. I need your truth. I need you to hear God from me.
Yeah.
And because I've been open to that, Becky's been open to that, there's been people who have saved our bacon on stuff that we could not see.
Yeah.
You know, what's crazy about that in a good way is it ties into these other two things really well. Like if I'm kind of envisioning the radar and it being tuned well, never can it be tuned as well than inside of a covenant relationship.
Yeah.
And never can it be tuned as well of inside of a thriving community, which is going to require non-slumber. It's going to require work and investment and relationship and people. So when you see the people that kind of are recluse and they kind of come away and they, you know, do whatever, their own thing, home church, whatever, and they kind of distance and kind of pull back into their own thing and they don't have that around them, now they're relying on, you know, a smaller set of instruments that maybe aren't so accurate to kind of stick with that analogy.
Yeah.
How much more powerful is it to have, like what you're saying, in the environment of the robust community with the people that you can talk to and the covenant relationships that you know no matter what question you're asking, they're not gonna, you know, go and leave. Mm. Right?
Right. Wow. Go ahead.
I think, you know, Bobby, we have spoken before other topics about accountability and how being in relationship with someone isn't me telling you what you should be doing, or you being accountable to me isn't me controlling your outcome, right? Accountability is you're accountable for your stuff, you're accountable for yours, and I'm there for you to be honest with. And I think that's the key. When I hear you talk about, you know, in being in relationship and being honest, I think that's number one. I can give you false information and you could give me what's on your radar with my false information. So number one, I have to be honest about what it is I'm dealing with. Number two, I have to recognize that I'm accountable for me. And the reason I bring this up is because I know in the church history, there have been a lot of heartaches with regards to accountability and misunderstandings as to what accountability actually is. So bringing that up, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, if the perfect storm is has already hit you, which is the three that we've mentioned today, or could be the three that we've mentioned today. Maybe there's something else that's already hit your radar. But if you've already made the course adjustment and you find yourself already in the path of that storm, you can still do what's necessary to avert that storm, to get out of that storm. And it could be that your first step is repentance for believing something, for breaking covenant, for being in a state of slumber. And then as you're making, and repentance is to turn and go a different direction. So, you know, repent. Or if you're seeing that storm now coming on your radar and you're going, ooh, I wanna make sure I don't go in that direction, then be sure to make the course direction that is led by God and that is not reactionary. Because you don't want to swing a pendulum in a farther direction and get you off the course that way too. Rick Joyner says there's two ditches on the side of the path of life that God has for us. You know, and so avoid those two ditches.
There's a ditch on either side of the path of life.
Yes.
You can overcorrect and fall into the ditch on the other side, or try to overcorrect and swing the pendulum and fall into the ditch on the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's really good. So I'm just going to be vulnerable. There are things that I need Becky for that I would not pick up on my radar. You're not going to see everything, and that's why you need people. You were actually created not to be an island unto yourself. And so for me, if I connect with someone and we're relationally talking and I'm like, look, Becky, that person had passion. They were ready. And you're like, but honey, you're about to give them thousands of dollars and above connection, how do you know that person wasn't blowing smoke?
Right.
You haven't known them long enough to know if the connection you felt was more by information or whether there's actually legitimate experience to back up the relational connection that you just had.
Yes.
So if I'm limiting myself to my gift, which is relational connection alone, I may get in connection with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still connection. And then all of a sudden, your gift is starting to shut down because you've been through 10 wrong connections and the spirit of betrayal was released and I haven't learned because I'm sitting there going, but it's connection that I thrive for.
Right.
Well, good. I was made that way. I'm going to fight to keep connection number one. Mm. I get it. But it's been 12 years and you've had 12 incidences and connection is your number one. Don't give that up.
Right.
However, where is the person that's in your life that's going to help you to understand that above and beyond connection? Connection is your doorway into relationship.
Mm.
But number two is that we need to know some things about people. So Becky has been that for me. And when I listen to her, I go beyond just a feeling of connection. And now I look down the line where I feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like there's cheaper radars that will only give me like a circumference of 40 miles. And then there's probably expensive radars that will give me like a circumference of, you know, 400 or 500 miles maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
That so Becky can help me see down the
That's
road
really cool.
on where this is going to lead.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, you know, to stay with the analogy of the instruments, right? Like you don't want to look at your altimeter. That tells you how high you are. You don't want to look at that to decide whether or not you're in a hard bank. You don't want
right.
to look. You don't want to look at your altimeter to decide whether or not your engine is overheating.
Yep.
Like you need to have the people in your life and community that are going to be able to tell you the hard things.
Yes.
And if you're like, we go back to the, you know, the core identity, you know, the assessment. Like you need to have a good understanding of who you are, so that you know that you can't. Like you're saying, Bobby, if I could say it a different way, can't necessarily trust yourself with this particular thing without the discernment from other people that are in covenant relationship or just these different, you know, relationships where you can actually trust
mm-hmm.
because you know, hey, I could be tricked by this
yeah.
if I'm only looking at my altimeter.
Right.
I could be turning around in circles and it might read the same altitude, but I'm about to rip the wings off the plane,
totally.
Right? Like it's really important to have an understanding of all of the different components.
Yeah.
And I think that the enemy's trick, we come back to this, you know, the truth being the foundation that lulls us into believing the lie, right?
Yeah.
So it's super important to make sure that we have the discernment to recognize as the truth becomes a lie. How do you get that? You get that through your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You get that through scripture and you get that through the relationships around you.
Right.
And if those things are missing, then it's very easy to walk down that path, starting with the truth and end up in deception.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important that I manage me to be the best I can be for when you need me to see, for when you need me to say the hard thing, that you can confidently know that I'm doing it from a place of health and from a place of depth in the spirit, that I'm not going across just superficial.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this because I think he might appreciate, you know, me saying something.
Wow.
You know,
and that
I mean?
Only happens with investment.
Right.
You don't get that, you know. You know,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that. You're right on. Your radar is amazing.
My radar is detecting it.
So if you don't have all three, this is why this works together. Because if you don't have covenant, if you've got severance of covenant, but I want to be your personal prophet, then I'm going to come in, I'm going to be your radar.
Right.
But I don't have relationship.
Right.
But somehow I want the benefit of covenant.
Yep.
I just don't want to walk in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So I want to know you here and build credibility here. I just want to be your personal prophet, your personal radar when you need to. And then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden I show up in areas of your life and I give you that correctional, directional, hey, here comes the devil and he's after you on this. And you're like,
right.
I don't think I know you well enough to receive that level of
right.
word. And the problem with that is, chances are they're really seeing something
right.
for you. But because they're not willing to walk in the other realms
mm-hmm.
of covenants and they've got a severance of covenant because they've been wounded
yeah.
or they've tried to self-protect for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because when we don't know about covenant, that's what we do
right.
is self-protect. But now they want to come and be your radar. It's like, gosh, I want to receive your gift yeah. because it's probably bang on.
Right, right.
But because you're wounded and you can't walk in these other things, your gift is not going to be a gift to me today. I'm going to have to say no.
Exactly. And you needed it in that moment.
Absolutely.
But all the effort it's going to take to sift through what is actually maybe out of time at the point you get to the good stuff.
Come on. So if you want to be my prophet, take the investment on the front end
right.
and don't do severance of covenant.
Right.
Which means you got to be willing to hear the tough things, which yep. means you have to be vulnerable. Yeah. So I'm not looking for a radar to just show me the quickest route. I want the radar to show me, hey, this is the quickest route, but there's a thunderstorm that way.
Yeah, hey, Chris, I've
so
got
you
something
go
tough.
Around. Yeah.
I've got something tough to tell you.
I'm ready.
We're out of time, dude.
We are actually 4 minutes over time.
We are.
That is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I know you needed to hear it.
And I had my radar tuned to that, and I still didn't notice it. I mean,
and
I even have it on my screen.
Because you have covenant, she can speak those things.
Yes.
Right. No, that's really good. Thank you for bringing us back. We got to land
You're
the
so
plane.
Welcome.
We're going to stay on this thing all the way. We're going to milk this analogy. So, again, we say this every time, but if you're hearing this and somebody's name is popping into your head that needs to hear this, you need to share it with them. You need to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't done that already. If you want to see what we look like and you've just been hearing us, go over to kingdomlearning.life and you'll see a YouTube. And just now, Bobby got up in front of the camera to do a little jig. So you definitely want to
do that. Oh, you got to see that one.
So if you're hearing this on YouTube, you definitely want to hit like and subscribe and then also go over to the podcast and sign up there. I'd love it if, I feel like, Becky, actually, I feel like you should close us in prayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lord, we just come together. We thank you that you have given us radar to see these storms, these blips that the enemy wants to use to redirect our path. God, we thank you for friendships. We thank you for just your guidance to keep us on the right path. Father, would you encourage each person now and show them who those right friendships are, those right relationships are. Would you wake up those who are in a state of slumber, and would you show each one of us and let us hear the ping of the radar that you have that is indicating we're on the right path. And we have not yet mm-hmm. deviated and will not deviate. Father, we desire to stay on course and on point with you, our true north. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.